Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Hasan Wasalan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Hi, I'm Naima Latif. Join me and my co-host Kareem Hamid every Wednesday morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the Female Solution Radio Show as we explore that relationship that is the foundation for our society, the relationship between men and women, husbands and wives. Join our discussion as we seek to repair broken family ties and rebuild our community. Listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to our hosts. Or you can join us live on Facebook at www.facebook.com/the-female-solution.
And thank you all for joining us on this Wednesday edition of the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today is the fourth Wednesday of the month where we have men only having a private discussion about issues that affect our lives. However, we, the women, will listen so that we can learn. And feel free to call in if you have a comment. And men, we want you to call in. The number is 515-605-9891. And talk to our host today, our regular co-host, Kareem Hamid. And we want to hear from you, particularly if you are married. Men, we want you to talk about the benefits of having a wife. We have a whole lot of men who have chosen to stay single. Perhaps they've either experienced in their own lives or lived through some horror stories. And yet there is a benefit to having that loving life partner in your life. So for those who may have not had the positive side of the experience of marriage, we want to hear from you. So call us 515-605-9891. And women, we're going to have a brief after show to kind of talk about what we heard, and you can listen in and call in. Of course, if you call our regular number, 515-605-9325. And men, press 1. We'll make sure that we connect you to our host and hear your thoughts. So we'll be right back after this quick break and bring in our co-host, our host for the day for the Men Only Discussion, Kareem Hamid. And we want to hear from you. Give us a call, 515-605-9325, and we'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesday, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Quite a few forms like this, and it has been very this morning, we shall
share. Dr. Dolly is outside of your plan.
And we are connecting to our we're connecting to our co-host, Kareem Hamid, and continuing to have this discussion.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. Please hold and you will be able to listen to the show.
Having a wife, the benefits of being there. We have heard all of the negative downsides about marriage. And I think it's time that we share the positive side of the sacred bonds of marriage, of having a wife, of being a devoted husband, and the benefit and the rewards that flow from that. We need to accentuate the positive. We need to accentuate the positive. A negative is always there, but we want to have a balance. Praise be to Almighty God. And I think it's time that men step forward and share their rewarding experiences in the sacred bond of marriage. Praise be to Almighty God, Allah. This is a conversation between males, between men. And at each segment, I'd like to play or share with you some of the comments of our past leader, Dr. Martin Luther King, freedom fighter. We ask that Almighty God grant him the forgiving his sins, grant him the highest station in the paradise. Praise be to Allah. So at this time, I want to share with you. Let me see. Let me open up. I'm going to open up Naima's line.
Unmuted.
And give her the greetings. Assalamu alaikum, Naima Latif.
And wa alaikum salam. We're all here anxiously waiting to hear some insight from our married brothers who can give us some understanding even of how valuable they find us as women, as wives. And for those women who have not been wives, maybe they can understand the benefit of being a wife. So we're certainly looking forward to learn some things today and looking forward to an invigorating conversation. We've got some people on our switchboard. As soon as they press 1, I will let you know if they would like to speak and add
there to the conversation. We're looking forward to that as well.
Okay. I want to open up with some statements, as I mentioned earlier, from Dr. Martin Luther King, our champion for freedom, for a very well-respected freedom fighter. Freedom, praise be to Almighty God. So I want to share with you part of an address that he gave, so that to kind of set this tone, that we are not looking outside of ourselves for answers. We're looking inside of ourselves. So let me bring him on. Praise be to Almighty God. And we hope that we gain from the value of this short address. Please hold on.
I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to the group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own emancipation proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language. They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure. Peace. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
Okay. Praise be to Almighty God. I like to begin each segment of the all-male conversation sharing the commentary of Dr. Martin Luther King. And he said, don't let nobody take your manhood away. Don't let nobody take your manhood away. So we believe at the height of manhood is responsibility. Don't let no one take your responsibility away and feed you and take care of you and be your caretaker. You, your own self, must grasp responsibility. And so with that in mind, I want I have several guests that I have invited to take part in this discussion on the value and the rewards of being married. We have with us Imam DeLacy Umar. If he would press one on your phone, please, I will unmute your mic. Okay, maybe he's pressing and it's not registering. I'll look through the studio board to see if I see if you're present. And I have Imam Wali Furqan of St. Louis, Missouri. If he would press one on his phone and unmute his mic. Yes, there he is. Praise be to Almighty God. Imam Bilesi has not joined us yet, but we look forward to the commentary of these two, I hold them in high esteem, Imam Wali Furqan and Imam Delacy Umar Phillips. Imam Delacy Umar Phillips was recently married. This past Saturday, he married one of the hosts here on American Muslim 360. He married Sister, I think I see Imam DeLacy's number. He married Sister Manira Habil, one of the gracious hosts here on American Muslim 360 that hosts the program. It's all about courtship and marriage, and they connected with each other on that broadcast and began conversating with each other. Praise be to Allah. And our beloved Imam Wali Furqan, he is, I'll let him share with you his position on the sacred bonds of marriage. He is an imam here in St. Louis. He is also a noted author. He authored the book Free Man in the City. He is a businessman, and we value him. We love him here. Imam Wali Furqan, if you would share a brief introduction of yourself with the listening audience, please.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Thank you very much, Brother Imam, for inviting us on this morning. I like to say, with the name of God, most gracious, most merciful, who I witness openly did not deserve to be worshipped but God alone, and I witness our beloved Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the seal of the prophets. Brother Imam, I have been married for 49 years. My wife and I have six children. Sister Grisa, her and I got married in college, and she was a teacher at Clary Muhammad School with math. She has a master's in math, and she taught her for years. All of our children, five of our children of the six graduated from Clary Muhammad School, starting in when they were like 1 or 2 years old, two or three years old, because the teachers told us that all that they wanted them to do is be potty trained. And there was three girls and two boys to attend the Clary Muhammad School in St. Louis. They have done exceptionally well, and I'm still working with that committee to re-establish our school here. I have a second wife, and Sister Linda and I, we've been married for 3 years. My first wife had a debilitating stroke. She had a stroke in 2006. So up until 2018, I took care of her with my daughters and I here in St. Louis, and Allah bless me. I've been blessed to have a second wife, and I'm blessed with Sister Linda. She's a beautiful sister. She even helped me with my first wife. She's been in the community for over 41 years. Her husband died, her first husband died of Parkinson. So I'm thankful to Allah in our religion, that we can have a second wife when those circumstances arise. And we try to do what's best for our community, and the best thing for our community to support community life. There, I tell brothers in our community that you should be married. Marriage is an obligation for us. It's to support our moral life, but it's support our spiritual life. It's support our whole life all around. You cannot have a complete life. Well, it's not complete if you're not taking on that responsibility of having someone else who you can help and support, and hopefully, inshallah, who can help and support you. So I've been blessed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me, my children, my grandchildren, and I see my children with Sister Linda. I see her and her children as my children. I see her children as my grandchildren. So I'm totally blessed. I've been in this community for many years, and I have never experienced anything but good within our community and trying to do what's right and supporting what's right. So I would implore, and I'm a person, I've always talked with the brothers and the sisters, to trust in Allah. Trust in Allah that Allah would bless you with whoever you marry, hopefully a Muslim, hopefully someone who's in the deen, but if not, but trust in Allah that Allah would bless that relationship and Allah would support you and bring out the best in the both of you because of your desire to want to please Allah. Alhamdulillah. I think my wife, Sister Linda, may be on another line too, listening in.
Yes, sir. Okay, we have Imam D. Lacey Omar Phillips with us now. He was recently married this past Saturday, and I'll allow him to introduce himself. He is a host here on American Muslim 360. He hosts the broadcast Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Also, he is an entrepreneur engaged in international trade. He is an importer of black seed oil from the country of Ethiopia. It is called the Abyssinian Black Seed Oil. If you would share with us, Imam D. Lacey Omar, praise be to Allah, we're grateful to have you on this morning, you and Imam Waleed, to share with us the rewards of being married and being a husband, if you would, please.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum. Peace and blessings to all of the listeners. And I apologize, Imam, for being delayed. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Yes, I was recently remarried. I was with my previous wife for 43 years and a half, probably 43 and a half years. And last year, she returned to Allah and went through a period of grieving and realized that I needed to be remarried. After being married so long, life is empty without a partner. You know, Allah has said he has created us in pairs. He's created everything in pairs. And it's also intended that human beings, has created human beings have mates and partners. You know, the word zawj in the Arabic means a partner. A partner. And they also use it, by the way, for business relations. You know, because you have partners also in business. But this particular usage in marriage is an intimate partner. And Allah talks about that in terms of having the support in the same, in the interest, in family, et cetera. So marriage brings families together as well. I had an opportunity, by the way, I've married Sister Munira Abil. She's also a host on AM 360. I was talking with Imam Kareem. I asked him, did we do a historic event, created history, that two AM 360 hosts were married. She hosts the show. It's all about courtship and marriage. It's all about courtship and marriage. And I kid her sometime until I learn how to court her listening to her program. I would ask her a question and then comment, "I'm learning a lot." I did learn a lot about Muslim courtship and marriage by listening to her program every Tuesday at 7 p.m. She does that program. We got married this Saturday, by the way, the 20th of August, which was Muharram, the 23rd day, telling that we got married in a sacred month. And the institution of marriage is a sacred responsibility, that you take this oath and commitment before Allah and witnesses in the community. The community also, for a marriage to be acceptable, it has to be witnessed by community members, or family members. Some has to have two witnesses, at least two witnesses. So we are looking at a union that also includes community. It includes community. And community is enhanced by that union. You know, my daughter, she was at our wedding, and Sister Manira's three of her children were there. And my daughter was commenting, "Wow, I have two new sisters and one big brother." You know, another big brother. You know, so this institution that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created brings families together and builds community life. It builds community life. So there should not be, we should not fear to go to be obedient. We should not fear to be obedient to what Allah has prescribed. And we should see it as an obligation, not just a choice that we make. We should see it as an obligation to be willing to share our life with another person or another family, build family, strong families, et cetera, by fulfilling that human need. It's a human need to have companionship, to be close to someone, to have someone, to have support, to be responsible for something. These are all part of our created human excellence that we engage life. And, you know, we were talking about fear. There should not be any fear. And if there is, we have to overcome that. We have to fear Allah more than we fear false and being disappointed, and accept that challenge. You know, we are expecting that we're going to have some disagreeable situations getting to know each other, but we are committed to work through that. To work through that with faith in Allah. So just wanted to make those comments to encourage our community to let's eliminate all of this individualism that we have and fear of being disappointed. You know, and have courage to move forward.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yeah, and let me just add one other thing here, because Manira reminded me of the joy in the courtship, the joy that I experienced. I experienced it, and she as well, when we were involved with figuring out how we can live together You know, those were some of the happiest days that I'd had in really in a lifetime. Just anticipating that I would have a mate, and that I would be very, very confident and encouraging to me. But those were some, that was a joyous occasion for me, and she as well has agreed that it was a joyous occasion during the courtship period, figuring out how we could be together, because she was in Chicago, I'm in Florida. So, you know, we had to look at moving and all of that and planning the wedding, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. By the way, we Zoomed it, so we're probably going to have it available for others to see. We had a wonderful occasion. Alhamdulillah, was well attended and well supported. Thanks, ma'am, for inviting me. I think I've covered the you know, long-term marriage, death of with being a widower, and then courting, grieving first, and courting and remarrying. You know, so you know, just be courageous. Do what Allah wants us to do as individuals. If Allah says He's created us in pairs, then don't be satisfied to be an individual. Look for a pair. Look for companionship. And I prayed many times that Allah would send me someone like myself, who value the commitments, and I have that in Sister Munir. Shukran. Thank you so much.
Praise you. Yes, sir. Oh, thank you for sharing that wonderful experience with us. From courtship all the way to actually finalizing the sacred bond of marriage. Praise be to Almighty God. You know, let me say this, that this conversation is not just, it is not exclusive. It is not just to Muslims or Christians or Jews. This conversation is to the family of man, we share with our Christian brethren the responsibility of establishing a healthy community life. We share with Christians, Jews, and others that we establish a healthy environment to move the human being's life forward. I'm inviting the Christian males that may be on this line to share with us the benefits and the reward and the pleasure and the tranquility of being in the sacred bond of marriage. You know, prior to this broadcast, I played a short dress of Dr. Martin Luther King, and he was sharing with us I'll give some commentary to that, that if the African American is to be free, he used the popular word at that time was Negro, he has to reach down into his own soul. In his own soul. And write a document of freedom and independence from the power of his self-asserted manhood. You know, there was a time when fathers would ask sons, son, when are you going to start a family? That used to be the question that fathers would pose to their sons. And from my position, you know, my daughter asked me yesterday, she said, Daddy, will you ever get married? I said, I don't know, but I do desire, I do desire to have a wife. But we have to be compatible, you know. The idea, and I share with her how someone can go to an amusement park and they can ride the ride by themselves. They're on the Ferris wheel by themselves. They're on the roller coaster by themselves. They may be enjoying themselves, but boy, it's better to enjoy this life with someone else. To share the enjoyment, yeah, to share the enjoyment, the many rewards of this life, you enjoy it better when you are enjoying that with someone else. To eat a good meal, to eat a good meal, it is more satisfying when you're sharing that good meal with someone else, especially someone that you love, someone that you have committed that, look, I'm going to share the best of myself with you.
Hello, buddy.
The best of myself with you. Now, let us, I'm going in a little deeper in that.
Oh, Brother Kareem, Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem. Before you continue, it's time for a break, and I've also texted you two questions that have been posed for you and your guests to answer. So if you can check your phone for text messages. Now, which one is your cell number? To make sure we're sending it to the right one.
636-980-6216. Naima.
Yes.
You know, although this is mail, if you would just read the question, you know,
okay.
I have no problem with that.
All right, make life simple.
Yeah,
all right. Okay, right. So as soon as we come back from the break. You know what? I'll read the question now. I'll give you a chance to think about it during the break, and then we come back and y'all can answer it.
Okay. Any one of us, in any one of us, Imam Delese Umar or Imam Wali Furqan or myself.
Okay. The first question is, what qualities are important or necessary for a healthy marital relationship? And the second question was for the brother with two wives. And that one was, how did you help the women get along with each other?
Okay.
So we'll take a quick break.
Beautiful.
Come right back.
Wonderful question. Okay, then. Okay, you're listening to America Muslim 360, and we shall pause for some important public service announcements.
And we will be right back after this quick break. And if you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325. And, of course, if you want to speak to the host, ma'am, we want you to call in, 515-605-9891, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. Remember, we're going to have a short after show to discuss what we heard. And, of course, we want you to listen in and call in and give your thoughts. And if you're married, man, we want you to share with those who have not been or have not successfully been, and or I shouldn't say not success, have not enjoyed the experience, and share what are the benefits of having a wife. And we'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up
on Chicago's South Side. I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
Follow us on Facebook and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Three Black Moms.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world. Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
People who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
And we'll be back in a moment with our co-host after this last message.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Are back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. I'm Naima Latif, and today is our men-only discussion hosted by Kareem Hamid. And the question for the day is, for married men, what are the benefits of having a wife? Well, we've got some excellent guests who've got...
Unmuted.
Long term of experience. And so now we're about to answer a couple of questions. Go right ahead, Brother Kareem, with your guest.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. We have with us Imam D. Lacey Umar Phillips and Imam Wali Furqan. They are, I would say, veterans. Veterans in the sacred bond of marriage. They bring a wealth of knowledge and experience with them on the benefits, the rewards, and the blessing of being a husband and being in the sacred bond of marriage. Imam Wali Furqan, I believe the question was presented to you. Naima, would you repeat that question? How did you help
the two wives getting along together, I think that was it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, okay. Yes, that was it.
Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. First, I'd like to congratulate Imam Delisi and Sister Manira. I've known Sister Manira for over 40 years. She's from St. Louis, and her and I have been friends. So I know Ben Imam, I wish you all the best. I've known the sister. She's always exhibited herself as a sincere Muslim, and I wish you both the best in your marriage. My wife, my first wife, Sister Grief, and I have been married for 49 years, but she had a stroke. So her cognitive ability was kind of limited after the stroke. And we've had to provide for her 24/7 our care. So she need care. She need physical care all the day, all time, each day. So she hasn't been able to take care of herself. And when I married my second wife, Sister Linda, she stepped right in. She helped my wife. She cooked for her. She bathed my wife. Anything that she needed, did her hair. Anything that she needed, I thank Allah for my wife, Sister Linda. She did it. So there was never a conflict about who first wife, who second wife, who going to do what, who going to do anything. I was blessed with Sister Linda, and she saw my wife has been in this type of relationship as a sister, and she called her sister, Sister Greta. So I'm thankful. We haven't had any problems. Any marriage that we should get into, whether it's the first or second or third or fourth, is for the pleasure of Allah. It's not for our own pleasure. I was never looking for a second wife, but I was blessed to meet her, the sister, and she agreed to it. And she wasn't looking for a husband. Her husband had passed, and she didn't think she would ever find someone who would replace Brother Dawood. But I was blessed, and she saw in me. She told me, she said, "Brother, I see a lot of qualities in you that I've seen in my husband." As a matter of fact, and she always telling me that. Dawood like that. So being a Muslim and being someone who's seeking the pleasure of Allah, we want to please God. If we please God, fear not pleasing Allah. If we fear not pleasing Allah, Allah, inshallah, definitely will please us. So Allah comes first in our marriage, and I don't have no complaints. I thank Allah. I have none whatsoever. I've been blessed, and I thank Allah for blessing my wife, both my wife and I.
I hope that answers the question. The other question is, what qualities are required for a successful marriage? Imam De Lacy, if you would address that question, please.
I probably should have Sister Manira do it. She's an expert on these.
We're trying to hear from the men today,
Yeah, I know. I'm gonna give it a better. I'm gonna take care of Sister Naima. Thank you so much for reminding me.
I ain't letting you get out of
this. Yeah. I'm not gonna get out. But I did learn a lot from her about just listening to how courtship and whatnot should be in marriage. But what I was looking for was compatibility. Was the main. Because I'd had a previous marriage for 43 years, as I mentioned, and I had similar issues to deal with, like Brother Waleed, Man Waleed mentioned. My wife also had a stroke and was not able to manage herself. So I was also a caregiver, as well as a husband to her and a mate, a friend. You know, we were all those things. So I think for the main thing is compatibility and first trust in Allah, faith in Allah, that there's a sacred institution that you're entering into. And, you know, the Prophet talked about the four categories for marriage. He said people marry for beauty, for the sister to be a handsome man, and for the brothers a beautiful wife. And they marry for status. You know, what is the status of the person? What is their social situation, et cetera. And economics, you know, that is also one factor, and then he said, and taqwa, and God consciousness, marrying someone who has taqwa. That was the number one thing on my list, that I wanted to have a wife who would be obedient.
Yes. Remember, Lacy, would you explain to the listening audience what taqwa means, please?
Yes. Being conscious that the Creator is watching your every move, that you don't want to displease or act out of the best possible character knowing that that it's being witnessed. So you are moving with caution, as though you are in a situation where you may injure yourself. You know, having that kind of consciousness that you don't want to disrespect yourself before your Creator, and being conscious of what is required of you. So if you are in a marriage, then you should know what marriage is about. You should take some time to be aware of how to treat your mate, how to, et cetera, et cetera. So you bring that type of consciousness also to the marriage, that you want to be careful of this sacred relationship that Allah has given you. And as you're navigating it, you're going to have difficulties, you're going to have disagreements, you're going to have all of those things, but you have to keep Allah in that marriage, and bring remind each other. You know, in my previous wife, when we would have an argument, either one of us would remind the other that Allah, God, would not be pleased with this behavior that we are distributing here. So we can remind each other that when we have that taqwa there, because now you have a avenue of resolving problems. And Allah has talked about that He is where we demand our mutual rights, in that ayat, chapter 4 of the Holy Quran, the first verse called the chapter is called Nisa, and that verse is used a lot in khutbahs and talks, where it talks about Allah creating the human being from a single soul and a mate, and has scattered countless men and women throughout the earth from that union. And then he says, have that sacred regard for God. Have a sacred regard for God, to whom you demand from whom you bring your mutual rights. You expect that your mate will be also one who is God-fearing and wants to resolve issues, because they have that consciousness that God is not pleased with bad behavior. So this is taqwa. And those are the things that I would be looking for. Taqwa, the first God consciousness, and then
yes, sir.
Compatibility. You know, marrying someone who see things similar as you do. It's very important. It'll have to be exact. And even sometimes the opposite works very good, because you have a person who with an opposite opinion that will help you to formulate a better way of thinking. So, but you have to be able to respect each other's opinion, allow for that to take place, and know that there's going to be some changes coming along in a new life, new wife, et cetera, new husband. So these are the things that we have to have, and bring patience to that. So thanks for having me, and I'm going to have to go. I got another responsibility. My granddaughter came to live with us. She's going to college, and time to take her to the school. We're going to drop off at college right now. So
okay.
I went from no woman in the house to two women in the house.
Praise be to God. Thank God. And we are grateful to know that she is furthering her education.
Yes,
you know,
she's 17. Well, she'll be 18 December. So she's already well on the way. We pray Allah bless her with success as well. Thank you so much for having me on this wonderful program. Sister Naima, thank you for inviting, for allowing the men to have a day. And,
yes, sir.
And
thank you
inshallah,
for sharing
we
your
pray. So thank you so much.
Yeah, we appreciate you, and congratulations to my sister. I'm so grateful that she is happily married to a wonderful brother.
Yeah, living in Florida, the Sunshine State.
The Sunshine State, wonderful. We have another question, Brother Kareem. We have another question for your guest. And that question is, what advice would he give to Christian brothers whose faith does not permit more than one wife, but who want to have a relationship with more than one woman? And I've come across this quite frequently over the last several years. We have two different views on what is God telling you to do, and the Christian brothers are saying, well, our faith doesn't allow it, but our hearts might desire it. How do we deal with that conflict?
Yes, I have a situation. A friend of mine is in that position right now. His wife is here, Christian brother. His wife is ill, and he's in good health. He's in fairly to decent health, but his wife is ill, and he don't know how could he have a second wife or someone to help him. His concern was that he's taking care of his wife and her ill, not being healthy, but who would take care of him? And he don't know how to address that. I told him that, you know, within our, what we study in the Quran and our way of life is that we can have a second wife, but that second wife is not something that should be hidden. It should be open. It should be something whereby the community is aware of it and knowing that we're doing what's morally right. We're not trying to do something that is immoral in the eyesight of not only the community, but in the eyesight of God. So I suggested that perhaps he should look into maybe seeing how within his religion or within the congregation he belong into, and talk to his minister or see that maybe the sister who need help, both of them need help because his sister's sick, but he's concerned about his health, what would happen to him. And I told him maybe he can talk with someone that's in his religion. I said in our religion, I follow the tradition and the guides of our religion. I couldn't suggest something in his religion because he have his book. But in our book, there is no, we are not constrained to having only one wife, that we can have a second, third, or fourth wife. So I couldn't advise him. He had to consult with someone in his religion.
Mm. Yes, if I can add some commentary to that, with the allowance of taking on more than one wife, the issue of equality is brought to the fore. You are to treat them equally.
Yes.
And so also with that, Almighty God does say, but one is best for you if you only knew.
Yes.
So, right. But there are conditions, there are circumstances that warrant taking on another wife. Let's look at our situation. Let's look at in real time right now. Men or women outnumber men.
Yes.
And a lot of the men are casualties of war.
Mm.
This social climate that we are in has warred against masculinity.
Mm.
Now I'm speaking into real time what is happening now.
Mm.
Our prisons are full of males, are full of men. And a lot of men have been put in the mental state where they do not qualify. They didn't put themselves there.
Mm.
They have been induced into a type of behavior and a type of thinking that somewhat takes them out of the running. So when the subject of polygyny was introduced, When Almighty God allowed polygyny, it was to save the cohesion of the community. It was to provide safety and security for the women. And in doing that, you are securing the safety and the security and the future of your children,
of
generations behind you. Now I'm looking at what is happening right now, now. And let me say this here. The Quran is an extension and a clarification and a correction of scriptures that came before. God says, never did he send a messenger that he did not prescribe for them children and wives. We, as mentioned earlier from our past leader, Martin Luther King, that we are responsible for ourselves. And with man, there comes responsibility for the community in which you live. So in how we treat our women, how we value them is very important. And let us not think that we have not been negatively affected by the color coding of language, of language. Unconsciously, we see black as inferior, So all but we deserve to give the best, to your community. And that best is found within yourselves. And when you find someone that is compatible with you, give the best of yourself to that person. And likewise, they to you. In Imam Dilesi Omar in enunciating the four justifications for marriage, he mentioned economics. And let me share with you a poll that has been executed, and it says that married men ages 28 to 30, they make $15,900 more than their single counterparts. While married men between the age of 44 and 46 years old, they make $18,800 more than single men of the same age. Now, what is that alluding to? Why is that? Because man meets his obligations. If you are just focused just on yourself, that limits your growth. That limits your growth. You're only putting forth minimum effort in some cases, just to take care of yourself. But when you think outside of yourself and you take on the responsibility of another, then your mind expands, your efforts expand.
Wow.
And as a consequence of that, you earn more, you build more, you have taken on a responsibility that motivates you, and you grow more. So there is an economic component and an economic advantage to being married and being responsible for other than one's self. If we love our community, marriage is not just a kissy kissy hug hug, you know, smoochy smooch, I love you and you love, oh, fine. Those are necessary ingredients that we have tranquility and peace among both parties, but at the same time have an interest in the overall health of the community in which we live. You are solidifying a foundation for people. Praise be to Allah. I won't mention any race, but you are solidifying the foundation for communal life, community life. There's a community component attached to the sacred bond of marriage. So if we truly love the African-American community, now I am mentioning race. I just love my community.
All right.
But if you're not adding value, if you're not firming up the foundation of the community that which you are part of, through the sacred bond of marriage, establishing family, increasing your material wealth, your material holdings, then we question it. You know, I'm just saying. I'll just stop right there.
But we gotta take a break, Brother Green. We gotta take a break, but we got a caller that wants to speak, and then we have two questions from our Facebook family that we'd like to share and have your guests answer. So we'll be right back with those questions. I actually got a number of people who want to speak. So of course, and women, we're gonna have a short after show to discuss all that we've heard, because we want to give the men a chance to express freely their thoughts without our interjection. But definitely you can write in your comments on our Facebook page, and we will share them with our listening and viewing audience and give our host and guest a chance to answer this men-only discussion, what are the benefits of having a wife? We'll be right back after this quick break, so we want you to stay with us.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Toussaint. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Viata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah.
773-960, can you give me your name and where you're calling from?
Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul.
Yes, 773-960, can you give me your name and where you're calling from?
515-605-9225.
Okay, hold on. You'll be next. Hold on.
Be a part of the solution.
I'm Viata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viata.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Unmuted.
And we are back. All right, we're back.
Yes, we are back.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum, brother man.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'd like to say something, if I may, please.
Then we will hear from those that have a question on the Female Solution Studio Board. Go ahead if you would, ma'am.
Yeah, you just said something that was very interesting and very correct about what social scientists have said about marriage and the benefit of marriage, along with the economics component of that. Those persons who are married they're more sound, have more economic benefits. But other things they've said too is that they are happier. The married couples are happier. Also, they have said they are healthier. They said they live longer. Yesterday, I saw a Muslim brother had posted on Facebook that he and his wife had been married 64 years. And he said, I posted also, I wish them many more happy years. But let's just think now, if he got married when he was 16, he's 80 years old now. I'm just saying 16. And if he got married when he was 20 years old, he'd be 84, 85. And there is a lot of people who celebrate 60, 65, 70 years of marriage. So marriage is something that's not only something that is grace and mercy from God, but also it keeps you as a person healthier, happier, and longer life. So that is something that individual, if he wants that, if he wants a longer and healthier life, that he should look, inshallah, to find a mate. I just want to add that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Wanda. Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, thank you. Wonderful. So, Naima, would you bring on someone that have a question or a statement that they would like to make? We would greatly appreciate.
Okay. Well, first let me get to questions that we have on Facebook, and I'll go to our switchboard. We got several people on the switchboard. So first question is, where does it say in the Bible a man can only have one wife? Isn't it more his personal belief? And then the second question also from Facebook is, how do you help the women with jealousy issues? So those are kind of two things that pop up often in this society, and they haven't been able to figure out how to resolve them. So maybe Imam Wali Furqan, you can address those two, and then we'll go to our switchboard.
Yes. Well, in the Bible, it doesn't say the man can't have only one wife. It say David and a lot of the prophets, they had more than one wife. Matter of fact, Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi wasalam, he had more than one wife. But it's the society that we live in has restricted it and said polygamy, that you should only have one wife. But it's the society and the laws of the land that says that here in America that you should only have one wife. So, but I know, and I think in Utah, I think at one time they had people outside of the state of Utah coming in and telling the person there, the men, that they could only have one wife. But I think
the Mormons.
Yeah, the Mormons. But I think I remember the Attorney General telling the people outside of the state of Utah that what Utah was doing is their religious belief that they could have more than one wife. And I remember on TV there was a man from Utah, he had five wives. So I think there is no restriction in the Bible that say that you can only have one wife, but I think it's the law of the land here in America that they say you should only have only one wife. But in our particular case, what we do as Muslims, we marry with a certificate. We know that in the United States that you have three numbers. You have a death certificate, you have a marriage certificate, and you have a birth certificate. And normally you can have only one. So normally they would say that if you have a marriage certificate, that you don't have two marriage certificates, that you only have one marriage certificate. So I'm married. I'm married to my wife for 49 years, but I got married to my second wife, Sister Linda, and we went to the imam, and the imam officiated our wedding, and it was in front of the community. We had to invite the community there to our marriage. So I have a wife that I do have a marriage certificate with, and I have a wife that I have a certificate of marriage through the masjid. So, but we shouldn't want to be seen in our community as men who just want wives just for the pleasure of having wives. No, we should want to be responsible to the sister, to the community, and trying to build up a community life. So my wife needed a husband. I needed a wife. And we were able to come together we went to the imam. So we didn't do anything outside of our community that the imam and the community was not aware of. So first and foremost, we should think of the community life first and then what's good for our individual lives.
Okay. So the second question was, how do you deal with jealousy issues? And that's a big, big issue, I guess, in the Christian community between the women, is that they don't have a concept of what's, you know, good for the whole, the community. It's like, this is mine. I'm not sharing my husband. That's a real big issue that we've seen. So how did you deal with that?
I don't see, first and foremost, everything we do is for the pleasure of God. It's not for our pleasure. It's for God's pleasure. So as Muslims, we should see that first and foremost. We seek to please God. We seek to please Allah. And I heard the imam say, Imam Umar said that he and his wife would have disagreements, arguments. I'm thankful to Allah. Allah is my witness. I never had an argument with my wife for 49 years. Never. We never. Matter of fact, there has never been a disagreement. If I say something, she would just say, she wouldn't contest it. If she says something, I wouldn't consider. Alhamdulillah, we just let it happen. I never had an argument with her. And I never had an argument with my second wife. I never had an argument. Because my concern is what's right for the family life. It's not what's right for me. So I've sacrificed what's good for me for my family. My children, my wife, we do things, and what God does, God in turn reward us. So my reward is that I've got children who've been very successful. I've got, you know, we've got, my wife used to say something, my daughters remind me of this. My wife used to tell our children, in particular all of our children, to speak clear and distinctively. To speak clear and distinctively. And out of that, we have two speech therapists who have master degrees in speech. So what we need to do in our children, with our children, our wives, we should to please God. And if we please Allah, how could I not be pleased when I'm pleasing Allah? How can my wife not be pleased? So I know neither one of my wives have had a disagreement or argument with each other, and I haven't had a disagreement or argument with them. So my whole concern is to seek to please God. And if we do that, we're not going to have no arguments. We're not going to have no disagreements. We'll just remain silent. Silence sometimes is the best. It's the best cure.
If I could share on that
yes.
point being made, the differences, the different perspectives, different perspectives. Almighty God says to everyone he has given an arai. Arai is translated as an opinion. And let me share an experience that I had with my wife. May Allah forgive her sins and grant her the home in the paradise. We were confronted with a financial dilemma. And I'm sitting there by myself trying to figure it out. Oh, I got pen and paper and calculators. Oh, I'm just going through it. And I shared the so-called problem with my wife. Do you know she gave me the solution and we came out $1,000 to the good. Now, that's to have another view, to have another perspective. It expands our vision. It expands our perception. So that's one of the advantages of having someone else that have a different opinion than you. You know, so it broadens your perspective to be able to look through the eyes of someone else. You know, I benefited from that. I personally benefited from that. And women, now now please, women, don't jump on me, but but men take risk. Men take risk in our thinking. We'll go out there and go beyond the lion and the bear. We'll go out there and whoop him and settle the land. The woman is more safety and security conscious. She's more safety and security conscious. We're doing fine right here. I'm not going out there and risk the security of us and our family. The husband, this is a pattern of thinking among us males. I'm going out there and subdue that. I'm going to make this better for us. I'm not settling, you know. So the two complement each other. They're equal in value. They're equal in value. The thinking of the female and the male, they're equal in value. And if utilized properly, we both benefit. The household benefits, the community, it benefits. So yes, there will be differences, but those differences should not threaten the unity of the sacred bonds of marriage unless it is something that is truly, truly, truly very haram, very, very, very egregious. If it's not, there are some things that can happen that will threaten the security of the marriage. But if we, and concerning someone being jealous, if you know that your wife has that within her, why would you even entertain the idea, of polygyny? In the courtship, you should have all, if you ask the right questions and you have observed properly, and you have someone that you trust that know her, then that jealousy, you should become aware of that. You should become aware of that. And if you become aware of that, then don't put her in a position of vulnerability whereby you know you are triggering that jealousy within her. That is your wife. Don't do that to her. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, but let me say one more thing concerning the first wife accepting another wife. And she is not jealous, but she sees and she understands the need to strengthen the family. She sees the need that this woman needs help. She needs help. And if your husband has the means and the right God consciousness and the willingness to share, to support another wife, and she may have children, and his first wife know that, and her heart goes out to that situation. The first requirement is love. is love. Even before you meet her, the first standard that you should use is love. Is love. I had someone say, well, no, you have to like that person. No, you start off at the highest level of love. And when you love something, you care about its condition, you know? You start off there. If it devolves from that love, if it devolves from that, well, now you deal with that. But let's start off first that I love humanity and I love that person. Let's what is the circumstances and situations of that person? So I'm cautioning men, don't even attempt to take on another wife if you know that your wife has jealousy. Don't put her in that. That's a very inhumane position to put her in. That's what I'm saying. Polygyny is not for everyone. It's not for everyone. There is a certain disposition that you must have. There are certain values that you must have before you consider entering polygyny. That's all. But there are wonderful experiences, as our Imam Wali has shared with us, the wonderful experience of the position of polygyny. Praise be to Almighty God for you, Wally, sharing that with us. I'll stop right there.
Well, we've got a caller I'm going to see if I can bring in before the break. And our viewer said that was the perfect answer on jealousy. And I'm going to open the mic for 773-960. You got a minute before our break to ask your question or comment. Go right ahead.
Well, that's all your name I need is a minute. Oh, that's all I need is a minute. This is Kofi Jones. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Well, before religion, in this country, indigenous people had many wives. When the government came, it split that up. We understand today that we are in a warfare and people are after our black woman to have babies, okay? Enough said. We know that's going on. You go to the liquor stores, you go to these different stores, they hire black women. You know why they hire black women? They're gonna take those women and mate them with other people. Okay? It's going down. So that ends the jealousy situation, knowing that in this warfare that we're in, where other people are trying to take our women, then women know I can be together with this man. We're trying to keep ourselves procreating on this planet. Okay? They want to take us off this planet. Okay? And the booty of the warfare, they call it the booty, that's when they come and raid the villages, kill the men, take the gold, and take the woman. Okay? So this is what they're after right now, our woman. So that's why black men right now, we are the ones that are saving our communities. Yes, so yes, you can have two or three or four women because we're under under attack. So I agree with this panel. I agree with this platform that you guys are having. I just want to put my two cents in. And yes, we're under attack, and we need to really feed into our young men and understanding that they need to get two or three wives because, I mean, it's going down. I'm going to say this last thing. I'm going to set up. Goldman Sachs gave $10 billion to invest in black women last year. Mm-hmm. And white guy told me on my Facebook page, he said, man, we own your black woman now. You understand? They're putting it in our face. They're putting it right here in our face.
Wow. Well, thanks for your comments. We got to take a break. So we'll have our host and guest comment on your comments after the break. We'll be right back, and we got a couple more comments from Facebook, and I think some more on our switchboard. So we'll be right back. after these messages. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. And this is the men-only discussion. Women, we're going to have a short after show to talk about what we've heard and give our opinion. So hold on. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms. And in case you didn't notice the resemblance, we're also three sisters.
We're going to be coming to you every week, sharing our successes and our mistakes as we navigate our lives as moms, wives, sisters, daughters, and of course, black women in today's world.
We'll talk about it all. Race, politics, religion, economics, culture, and we'll take a look at everything from whether or not to use corporal punishment to how do you teach your children about sex.
Look for our upcoming book, Growing Up Charles. It's a personal story about our lives growing up in Maple Park on Chicago's South Side.
I'm Barbara.
I'm Cheryl.
And I'm Naima. We're three black moms.
Follow us on Facebook.
Blog Talk Radio.
To
start your show now, press 1. Is your important
instrument? It appears you're calling back into a live show.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self, cell care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and yourself feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
What if you could live to be...
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solution Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
Back. You're listening to and watching the Female Solution Global Radio TV Show. This is a men-only discussion, and we've got a couple more comments. And women who are on the switchboard, stay with us. We're going to have a after show, after the show, to analyze what we heard the men say. We got a question from one of our women, and also like to share a couple of the comments from Facebook. Let's see. And question.
Unmuted.
So we've got two questions.
Okay, we're ready.
First one is, should a man leave his wife if he has a strong desire to have another wife? And I guess that's for those who, again, don't have the religious structure that provides for that particular family life. And then the second question was regarding what the Bible says and what about what it says in the beginning, you know, with, you know, I guess the whole Adam and Eve story, you know, two becoming one. And doesn't that indicate that that is what is supposed to happen in terms of what God says? And here we, you know, we've got this same conflicting idea of what is the spiritually correct thing to do. And there's a lot of deep emotions about this topic because it's come up this whole week on our show. So there are no accidents. It's a thing that is deep inside of women. And how do we deal with this given some of the issues that your guest has raised about and yourself about family and community and how do we build? But, you know, how do you handle those two things? One is saying, you know, what is the solution if a man's wife is jealous, he just has to leave her if he wants another relationship, if his religion doesn't permit it. And the second one
is, we would take that. Yes, sir. Go ahead, please.
Yes. I've had that, a sister, a Christian sister told me of that situation. And it happened with her, and her husband was a minister. And it really, she was sick at the time. And her husband couldn't wait until she healed. And he left her in a very bad situation as far as finances, taking care of herself, but he was a Christian minister, but I'm a person of faith. So I don't think whether you Christian, Muslim, Jew, or whatever, that you should, in the Quran say that you shouldn't leave the woman in financial difficulty or dire straits, leave her, as the Quran say, hanging. So I would never, inshallah, I would never advise a brother to leave his wife or for another woman or for any situation that would put her in financial difficulties without assisting her in some way financially, providing for her until she can get in a better position financially or health-wise, because that does occur. In matter of fact, as I was stating earlier, I have a friend in that situation right now, been a Christian man. I mean, his wife is ill. But he said to me a couple of days ago that he don't want another wife, that he would never take on a second wife, but he just in the position is that he would just stay with her. He would stay with his wife through her physical illness, perhaps until she passes. But he's not going to leave her, and but he don't want a second wife. So there are Christian brothers who are facing that dilemma that they want to leave, and but there are some who say, I'm not leaving, I'll stay with my wife. And my friend, he's a friend of mine, he did that. But the other Christian minister, he left his wife, and he left his sister in a way whereby she was in a church, but right now she left the church. So she just left the church after her husband put her down. So those are individual decisions to make.
Another comment.
Boy, that, yes, you know.
Let's see. What we
go ahead, my sister.
Okay, so the comment from one of the men, Eric James Stewart, says, black men must think out of the box today. We're the only ones on the planet that produce melanated babies. And says this show must continue to build. It's not about religion or a marriage license. It's about survival of the fittest. So that was sort of those comments. So question regarding, I guess, the license situation. We do have laws, but then we also have the state of the heart, and that's where the battle is. And we have the social situation, and we have the jealousy issues. And there's a big conflict, and a point that I made on our show Monday is that I see a lot of families with no fathers, and statistics show that 87% of men doing time in prison came from homes with no fathers. So there's a need for us to do something, and if our religion doesn't allow it and emotions of the women don't allow it, then we're at an impasse and we're stuck. So how do we get unstuck so that marriage, which would include all children being part of a solid family and community, can happen? How do we get unstuck from this stuckedness that we're at? Now men are just going to be saying, well, I just won't get married, which is why we're having this conversation. So what can we do to get out of this impasse?
Let me say this. I'll be very brief. What has been aimed at us, at the human being? We are not the only ethnic group that are confronted with an aversion to the sacred bond of marriage. We are not the only group targeted with that. The human being is being challenged on that at that level. What has been the promiscuousness that has been broadcast worldwide, the leaving of the sacred standards upon which human beings have established their life, it is being inserted at the global level also, at the global level. But you cannot give what you don't have. So we want to contribute to the rest of the world the best that we have to offer them. So we have to first heal ourselves first. Then we can give you the model community. But we cannot do it if we do not possess it ourselves. One more note. A woman cannot be forced into a polygynous marriage. Let me say that. A woman cannot be forced into a polygynous marriage. The man does not have to ask her, but he should inform her. And how can she avoid being forced into a polygynous marriage? Unfortunately, we pray that it don't come to that, but she can file for divorce and not live in an intolerable situation that does not bit her. That's torture, you know? So the best situation is that she agrees, and being God conscious will aid in that. It will aid in that. I'll stop right there.
And if we follow the Quran as Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, save yourself and those you love from the hellfire. So the hellfire is contention of going against with what Allah says. And if we fear Allah and want to do what's right, this is like Imam has just said, this is not anything new. Matter of fact, in the time of the Prophet, you had women who would come to the Prophet and they would ask him for his hand in marriage. Matter of fact, Lady Khadija, she asked the Prophet for his hand in marriage. So the sister herself, she shouldn't be afraid to go to the Imam, and she may see a brother that she's interested in and tell the Imam, say, Brother Imam, I'm interested in that brother. Ask that brother, would he be interested in having a second or third wife? The sister should be, don't be afraid to think that that's something you cannot do, because we want community life. Community life is better. My mother, she raised 10 children by herself, 10 boys, 5 boys and 5 girls. But it was very hard. My mother was a laborer and in Arkansas. She picked cotton, chopped cotton. She picked fruit in Florida to raise her children. But she had to do that. But it's very hard. Very hard on my mother. My mother wore khaki pants and khaki shirts her whole life. She only had one dress. But today, because of that and the things she told me, my mother told she had 5 girls, 5 boys, and none of her children went to school. All of them had to work in the fields of Arkansas or whatever, and she only wanted 2 children out of the 10. She wanted 2 to learn how to read and write. My mother told me and my sister, the only book we had in our house was the Bible. And I learned how to read the Bible. My sister learned how to read the Bible. My mother told my sister and I that I want you all to learn how to read, because my mother put that on me to learn how to read. I'd written 3 books. And, Brother Ma'am, that book that I read is A Free Mind, M-I-N-D, A Free Mind in this City. I wrote a book, Say, and I wrote Damaged Goods in Black and White, America, We Have a Problem. But if we want to do right, if we want to save ourselves and those we love from the hellfire, then we would just follow what the Quran say, with the Father, the Sunnah of our beloved Prophet Muhammad, and we would follow the Tafsir and the commentary of our beloved Imam, Warki Muhammad. So we have directions, we have guidance, and all we have to do, brothers and sisters, particularly in this community, man, Warthi Muhammad, is to follow it. And I think we'll be successful, inshallah.
You know, on that note, you know, what we're inviting people to is not, it's already within us. It's already within the human being. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter what your religious label is. It doesn't matter what leader you follow. Look into your own self. There are known human standards, by way of the orphan. Almost every country has some program or something to assist the orphan. The focus should be on our children. And our children, what are we doing? What are we doing? We are perpetuating an ignoring of the very standards that supports human life, be you in Asia, China, wherever, Australia, wherever. This appeal is to the human being. We must return back to some semblance of civilization. Civilization means civil behavior toward each other. You don't have a civilization when there is not civilized behavior toward each other, a healthy respect for each other. If I love this woman, then there's nothing wrong with me putting that down on paper, codifying it. So I'm just saying that this there are advantages to being married. That is how you build family wealth.
Hello.
Family wealth. Family wealth.
So I have,
and
I have
we all
question.
Benefit.
I have
yes,
two
ma'am.
More questions, and of course, again, if you're on our switchboard, if you're a man and want to speak, please call 515-605-9891 and press 1. If you're a woman, stay on this switchboard. We're going to have an after show and talk about what we heard and get our thoughts out. We'll still be on the Female Solution and on Facebook, so stay with us. But we got some questions on Facebook. One was, what happened to the father of the 10 children? And the other question is, for Christian men who want to have relationships with more than one wife, their decision is to simply not get married because the law doesn't permit them to have, and the culture doesn't permit them to have more than one wife. So their way of handling it is to have many relationships and none of them be legal marriages, so that financial foundation you talk about isn't there. So is there any other way for them to deal with the restriction in their religion when their hearts say they want to have relations with more than one woman? Is there another solution other than them simply remaining unmarried?
Naima, you mentioned something. You said wanting to have relations with another woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now, you know, that's a very broad statement. If he is motivated by lust,
mm-hmm.
that is not affirmed. I mean, that is very, very weak foundation
mm-hmm.
to have a connectedness to another human being, another family. If it's just for sexual pleasure, like she is his pleasure thing, we have to view each other as sacred, human beings, and we have to value one another and not just as tools, my pleasure tool. And after I have relieved myself, I get up and I have no responsibility, nothing. We have to get out of that. We cannot progress as a human species if we act like animals. We are human, you know. So I wish I could talk with that brother one on one, me and him, because there are some things that I would share with him that I won't share over the air. But you know, either you believe in God or you don't.
Alhamdulillah.
And for those of you that even don't, if you believe in the known standards that God has already placed within you, honesty, truthfulness, faithfulness, commitment, that's already within you, you can activate that. So we're trying to save humanity. And there are many pluses to being married. I'm so grateful. I had a wonderful, I cannot put into words, I had a wonderful marriage. Wonderful. I have been into, I mean, for the paradise of marriage. My past wife and I, we could almost think the same thought. She could complete a sentence. For, you know, we were just that compatible. So get to know the one. Get to know that one that you are connecting your life to. Don't just look at her outside, you know, because that's going to change. That is going to change. And as Imam Wali have shared with us, the medical conditions of either one of us can change. So it requires a deeper inner resolve. A deeper inner commitment in order to enjoy, praise be to Allah, to enjoy the sacred bonds of marriage. I'm just saying that I cannot mentioned the numerous benefits that I derived from having a blessed marriage. For real, for real. I grew.
Yes, my father, he was, my father fathered 13 children, 10, and he stayed in our lives, though, up until his death. So daddy, he didn't leave us, but he and my mother, they weren't together. But my mother had 10 children, and with my father, and father had 3 other children outside of the marriage bond with my mother. But for those of us, particularly our fathers who didn't have directions that we have right now, didn't have the example of Abdullah Prophet Muhammad, I didn't have the example of some other men that we have met. But I love my father. I appreciate what he done for us. But he didn't know. Daddy just didn't know how to be a good husband, a good father. But now I do know. So the things that I've tried to do for my wife and my children, we've benefited tremendously. Some of the things that you talk about, Brother Ma'am, about the those bonds that that been in that and that relationship and being happy, and I've had 2 of them. Allah has blessed me with the 2. He favored me twice with my first wife, and He's favoring me now with my second wife. So, but my desire is to please Allah Subhanahu wa Taala. Amen.
Alhamdulillah. You know, there's nothing wrong with, I've come up with an idea, and I've thought of it for a long time. The overabundance of fatherless families. If you have a wife that is cognizant of that, there is nothing wrong to suggest to her, you don't have to marry the woman, but let's adopt that family. Let's adopt them. Let's see after their vital needs. We can do that. In spite of what the laws of the United States says, we can voluntarily do that. Adopt that woman and her children and see after their physical and moral needs. I'll stop right there. We only have 1 minute of broadcast time left. So thank you, Imam Wali. And I want to thank you, Ma'am Delacy Omar, for agreeing to contribute very richly toward this conversation that we have had among men, the value of being married. Do you have any closing comments, Imam Wali, before we sign off?
Brother Ma'am, I would just say to the brothers, the Muslims, believers, peoples of faith, don't be afraid to, don't fear doing what's right. You can never go wrong by doing what's right. So Allah is with those who do what's right. Allah says those who believe and do righteous deeds, they should have no fear, nor should they grieve. And I think we should always remember that. Thank you very much for the invitation. We pray to Allah that we have said something that benefited us all. Ameen.
Ameen. Thank you, Naima. I must sign off now. Alhamdulillah.
And we thank you all for being with us. Stay on. Women, we're going to have an after show right after this closing. So stay with us. We want you to analyze what you heard and give your opinion. Agree, disagree, have other thoughts. And we'll be right back with the after show. Men Only Discussion.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts,
I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, dziękuję. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
All right. And we are now in the after show. And for those who are on our switchboard, hold your spot because the switchboard has shut down. No more callers. But if you want to make a comment, if you're watching us on Facebook, just write in your comment. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audiences. We're going to open up the microphones for those who have joined us on the switchboard. This has been quite a discussion, and it is an ongoing issue that we find in our community having to do with our families. We have so many broken families, and we started out this Monday with the topic of men who were not faithful in their relationships, specifically those who stepped out in their marriages, and even what should be the response for the women, you know, should they stay? And then, of course, some men said, well, it's not just men that do it, women do it as well. So when you have a marriage in this culture, it's a commitment to one person, and if you get emotionally and physically involved with someone else, that's considered breaking that marital contract. And the divorce rate now is in some communities almost 70%, and that means our children are being raised in single parent households where they don't see what that relationship looks like. And what the men on the show have talked about when they say, what is the benefit of having a wife? It's to help men to see that there is an importance in that bond because it is the foundation for our communities, our safe and secure communities. When you have too many single men that are not attached to families, they tend to commit crime because they don't have any loyalty to a family. That's a sociological reality. But we have many broken families, and as I shared on Monday, as I was teaching in both elementary and high school, I was finding that many of the children who were most disruptive were ones going through family breakups, and much of the breakups had to do with the fathers leaving the mothers for another woman, and I saw the impact on the children. And yet, if we, the women, can't figure this out, we're going to continue to see the dysfunction in our communities, the economic distress, because you need that partnership. So how do we fix the problem? Well, it is a benefit to having a wife. How do we help everybody who wants to get married to be in a family if there is a greater number of men than women? Now, somebody, I believe one of our men callers, Kofi, brought up the fact that there are other races of men when it comes to African-American families. They're, well, you know, we're not confined to just black men. You know, you can go overseas, abroad or whatever, other racial groups. That's what's happening. Do we have an issue with that? You know, a man is just a man. It doesn't have to be any kind of color. So what are we willing to do to address this issue? Let me open the mic. I'm going to start with the area code 773. 737, I believe we've got Mama D, who says that, of course,
well,
the Bible does in fact
Hallelujah, greetings to you, Global Transformers. I have two questions, but first I would like to address the statement that I heard. Husband, love your wife, not wives, but Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. He who finds a wife, not wives, finds a good thing. And Solomon lost his wisdom when he had all those wives who brought in other gods. Now, my question one, God is jealous. Is it jealousy or a sin called adultery, a commandment breaker? And question two, how should a Christian man who wants more than one wife to deal with the conflict? He said that he should make the community aware of it. And isn't this a crime in America called bigamy if you have more than one wife? How do you make the community?
I think those are some excellent points. And I'm going to open the mics for some of the others that want to join this conversation as well. When I was doing research for the book, The Female Solution, I ran into a lot of the history of the conflict about this because different religious groups have different standards. And the Mormon Church, which was kind of in competition with the Protestant Church, they were looking at Old Testament practices of multiple wives, whereas the Protestants said that, you know, according to the Apostle Paul, I believe there's a quote that says each man should have his own wife. So in terms of culturally and biblically, they disagreed. And so when the United States established what the law was, the Protestant Church wanted to, in fact, have that particular cultural view of one man, one wife to be the dominant cultural view. The Mormons wanted to have the autonomy to create their own cultural standards. So they dominated the state of Utah, and that's been where polygyny has happened. And some have pointed out that it's been widely abusive toward women. So women, of course, in looking at what happens in cultures where men are having multiple wives, but often it is abusive, they fear being abused. And then as Muslims began immigrating to America, and Muslims coming from countries where multiple wives is part of the religion, that also was a conflict. And so, again, and matter of fact, when Muslims would come and the government would hesitate to let them in because they said they're bringing this practice which is against our religion. So this conflict over, well, what does God really say? Is God saying you should or you shouldn't? Well, this religion says God said you should. This religion saying God said you shouldn't. But it really comes down to what's in the heart of the people, because we have the power to create whatever culture we want to follow. I mean, there's nobody stopping us from doing anything other than what we're doing, which we determine is in the best interest of each other and the society. It's, you know, we're here on free will. But there's an emotional response when a woman thinks, if she feels that the man that vowed to her that she would be exclusive, if she feels that he is now saying, well, I'm interested in someone else. There's a deep emotional response to that and a feeling of betrayal. So there are things that we have to address. They're not going away. And what has happened culturally is, for the last several generations, is that men have not formed families. Our economy has been disrupted. We are struggling financially. We have so many women that are heads of households because the men have not married, even though they produce children. We have men with multiple women and no wives, none of them married, or they have, we have men who have a wife and then they have several secret lovers, you know, and that has been disruptive. So what we have is hurtful. The answer is within us, but we have to discover it, because the problem isn't going to go away until we discover the solution. And the emotions that surround this issue are humongous. But no matter how angry we get, the problem doesn't go away. And our children right now have gotten so outrageous because of the absence of the stable unit of mother and father in the home. They're forcing us to do something. And we must figure out what that is. So I'm going to open the mic for area code 312-802, and I believe we've got our sister minister, Cynthia Marie Williams, Grand Rising. Thank you for joining us, and give us your thoughts. Minister Cynthia, are you able to speak? Minister Cynthia, your mic is open.
Yes.
Are you able to speak?
Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you. Yes.
Do you hear me? Yes. I'm listening, and I wanted to share with the brother. I've been married 4 times. Actually, married, sir. There's something about myself I found over the years. There's a vibration, and it's spiritual. There are men have gravitated towards me because of that spirit of God that is in me, because I allow myself to open up to that realm, to so forth what we talk about, and that people feel comfortable when they're around someone to allow them to express themselves. And in my understanding of myself as a human being, first I'm spiritual and I'm a soul, now the inner body container. But what I found out about myself is that I have a loving detachment. I'm not a very emotional woman, but I'm not cold. And that's a level of maturity that one has to get to. I find that men in our culture don't have that maturity either to settle down and make sure that when they relate with other women, it is a healthy relationship. I can deal with more than one wife now. Having met Naeem right over the years, read a book and listened, and I find there's some women that I had thought about for my before he made his transition that I thought would be wonderful wives, but they did not have a maturity to deal with it over, and I've noticed it. It's just we have to go to that level, and we as mothers, and we're to help our sons to be this way. And then we need to help that respect for women, but also help them to understand their positions spiritually.
Yes. Yeah, I think that is such a critical thing, the spirit, the evolution of the spirit, and the capacity to love, and having a relationship that's based on love, which is different, like Brother Kareem was saying, than, you know, you just want to play some women and you don't really care about their well-being, their family, their emotional health, or any of that. And Viata on Facebook says, I'm going to open up the next mic also, Viata on Facebook says, it's an excellent conversation. These men are real jewels to heal our society. And I think they gave us some real situations that we have to look at. And Viata says, we have too many individuals going into relationships unhealed and addicted to substances that influence their behavior and prohibit clear thinking. And Minister Cynthia, you, of course, have shared with us in the past that you've been married to some of those unhealed men. And when men are wounded emotionally and they misbehave in one relationship, often they turn to a woman to lift their self-esteem, but they're still unhealed. And so that's different than being the emotionally healthy man who can be a strong husband and father and mate to more than one woman. Because if you are not well in one relationship, you're going to be just as broken in the next relationship. And there is a difference. And so we have to look at the relationships that we are in. Are they healthy? Are the men healthy? Are we healthy emotionally? And if you have pain that has not been addressed, you're just going to keep repeating the same pattern no matter who you're with. So I'm going to open the mic for area code 111111. Can you hear and can you identify yourself, who you're calling, who you are, where you're calling from, and your comments about today's discussion, the men-only discussion about what are the benefits of a wife. First of all, your name and where you're calling from, and are you married? One 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 one. Can you hear us? Are you able to speak?
Yes. How are you? Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Grandma.
Thank you for joining
us. Such a fabulous conversation. First of all, you know, I really just feel bad because a lot of times there's a bad. It's like traditional versus reality. A lot of times with society and with men. This impression that men are just sexual predators, when in fact it's a bad move. How do you keep a family together when all you and have a relationship where all you're thinking about is sex? You don't lay on your back and make money. You don't lay on your back and do anything. So in order to be successful in life, we have to get up and do things. Now the biggest problem sometimes is this was the situation I might have run into. I'm 36 years into this marriage. I had been married prior to that 7 years. Marriage is a wonderful thing. But sometimes one of the things I'm noticing is that as you are married, that relationship, like the brothers were saying, it makes you so much better. You can help lots of people that need assistance in conversation, you know, people that need to listen and all that. So when you are involved in other conversations and relationships with women, it's just not about sex mostly at all. It's most about growing mentally, growing spiritually, gaining some wisdom, knowledge, and some understanding, so that just like you all say, we can reach that point. But as long as these men run around, I just want her for 5 minutes, just for a moment, and he's gone, what makes you think society has so many, you know, fatherless homes, whatever that's supposed to be? Men are supposed to step up. I don't have any children, biologically. All the children of the world belong to me, and I care about all of them. I'll step up to somebody standing on the corner or sitting on the ground because they matter. So this is a wonderful discussion because I think it just begins where we need to go. And at the last, I found one of the solutions that works. When you have multiple friendships or relationships, my take on it, it was a better man, is that I've started to just introduce everybody. We don't want secret relationships. You know, more people have things in common than we think. And when a woman has an admiration for a man, maybe more than one woman, then they can all talk about the admiration and try to grow instead of making it like some fight like you see on TV with Jerry Springer and them and all some woman's mad at another woman because she stole her husband. No, we don't need that. We need communication. We need some people to get together. We need the strong relationships like the marriages to be okay with that. Because in our world, we need a little bit of everything. Most of the people are left hanging, and if we can embrace them, like you said, embrace them into the family, then look at the society that we will have. Sure, appreciate it. It's awesome.
Well, thank you so much for contributing to this discussion. there's an issue that doesn't go away, and that is one of jealousy. And now, to be fair, that's not just women that are jealous. There are men who are jealous as well. So a couple of years ago, we put together a marital contract, which was kind of like an open-ended opportunity for people to choose. They're making a commitment to each other, but they're also giving each other the option of adding another spouse to the relationship. And that contract made that option available to both men and women. Now, men love the idea of, okay, I can have another wife. But the idea that their wife could also have another husband, they were like, oh, well, no, I don't think that's, you know, God didn't say that. Well, you know, we're talking about what we are willing to allow someone to share of themselves with another being. And like you said, it's not about sex, but in the mind of a person who is jealous, that's the first thought they think. What if that person that my spouse is with is better sexually than I am and they favor them over me? How am I going to feel about my self-esteem? Women feel this, but then when the shoe is on the other foot and men have to think, well, could I really allow my wife to have a relationship emotionally and even physically with another man? Oh, no. So we have to look at that. Do
but
we understand that we are
that.
Souls inside a body
women
and we're not a body? If someone wants to share their self with someone, their energy, like you said, should it be okay?
Here's the thing about it at the end of it. You know, even if it was a situation where the men are involved, in my marriage, men were always chasing my wife because, you know, she's beautiful and have a lot to offer. It's automatic as far as I see. Men will come to a woman for guidance when he's not sure. What am I doing getting in the way of that? I don't. She can talk to as many people, have as many friends that she can help grow as she needs to. She's always done that.
So you're not a jealous man?
No, why should you be jealous or possessive? A woman loves you from the heart and the mind. That's what matters. I mean, I think that as we get older, Naima, this is the biggest challenge sometimes. When people are younger, they think it's constantly about sexual maneuvers and stuff. But when we get older, it's about the mind and the spirit. It's so deep in fact that I met somebody that I was in love with truly, and they were in love with me. But we took our relationship to a higher level of consciousness. And that's what you're supposed to do. You don't just, oh, well, let's get to bed. No, that doesn't solve anything. Let's use our mind and our spirits. And lastly, we need to start having conversations like three-way conversations so people can begin to let out the frustration and express themselves. When I did that, I found that everybody had more in common than they thought they did, and the women were fine. It wasn't a debate. It wasn't an argument. At first, it started off a little questionable, but once everybody started talking and expressing themselves, all of those jealousy things were eliminated and alleviated because it wasn't even true. You're thinking your man's after somebody, and he's helping somebody grow in a way you never knew he could help. So you would actually benefit to see the wonderful man that you have in your life. Such a magnificent person. He's got a big enough heart to help the community. That's what it's about. Isn't that awesome? That's what we have to do in the future for our families to survive. We already have blended families, but we need the families to be agreeable. Can we please have conversations so that we can get there? Try that first. It works.
I certainly agree. We have a couple of comments on Facebook. Deanna says, sometimes we don't care enough for self that needs healing more than others. First, love yourself. F-L-Y. Fly. First, love yourself. And I think that really is at the core of what has to happen. Jealousy is rooted in fear. And fear comes from the belief that perhaps one will lose love. So if, first of all, you love yourself, you know that you are lovable, and you're comfortable in that, then you can extend love to another. But if you fear that you were unlovable, maybe because of a childhood experience of being abandoned or abused, then you fear that someone may leave you, or you fear that someone may make you feel that you are of lesser value than someone else. That's what jealousy is. It's fear that one is not enough. So if one is jealous, one has to look at what's inside of them and what are they fearing. But when you know that you are magnificent, you are wonderful, you're a divine being, then there is no jealousy because you already love yourself. You know who you are. You know what you are. You know your value, and no one can change that. It's difficult for women because we live in a culture that tends to make women feel that they are of lesser value if they are not married or if they don't have a relationship or if they're not considered beautiful by the general society. So we have a lot of things that have damaged our self-esteem, and that has to be corrected. And then we have a lot of issues in our culture with men that make them see us as things to use. So we often end up damaged in our relationships. And, you know, Minister Cynthia, you've talked about the abuse that you receive in your relationship. Mama D, you talked about, you know, being married more than once. So, I mean, we constantly look for the healthy partner, but we don't attract a healthy partner until we're healthy. And that's the issue that we have.
May I make a comment, Naima, please?
Go right ahead.
Can you hear me?
And Mama D, your mic is open also. Yeah, your mic is open also.
Can you hear me?
Well, I'd like to
make a
comment.
Yeah, so first...
Can you hear me?
Yeah, so first, Minister Cynthia, and then Mama
D. See, let's get the woman's perspective on this, please. Someone like myself. I've been married four times. Why is it that I've been married four times? Because I have that confidence within myself. And I have that level of love for myself. It's an ability with me. I was a tomboy. I used to love playing with boys. I always get along with boys. And there's something about me. When my husband met me, I heard him say, remember now, I've been married four times. You're the kind of woman that a man marries. There's something about how, as a counselor of men, they need comfortability. They need this loving detachment that I have always had. I really have. And when I found out it was confirmed by men as I grew and got older, that I was actually drawing men to me because they felt comfortable with me. So they if they knew they were coming around me, they had to make a commitment because I expected that if I'm going to have a relationship with you, then you need to respect me. So let's get my perspective. And if I, as I matured through the issue of polygamy, and knowing you, Naima, in your book, I thought about it over the years, and I saw that there was a need if we had a man that could understand how to deal with one, more than one wife. I'm not Muslim. You might say I'm Christian. I'm metaphysical. But here's the issue. I know who I am, spiritual, soul-wise. So I had women, as I said before, that I was meeting that I knew that were in love with my husband. And I would look at them, and I would say, well, okay, is this someone that I can speak to my husband about? Because could I take that step to help him to understand that I was comfortable with this woman as being a person in his life that I would share him with? But I found that it doesn't matter because he did not understand and I did not open up my mouth to that because these women, as I could see, they didn't have a loving detachment, the emotional ability to not go on these levels that we have learned in this world. sex and getting all emotionally. I just never was like that. So even now, I am a double amputee. And my husband said to me, well, it is negativity. Well, for me, you're not going to be able to get anybody. And I looked at him and I'm like, what does he mean? Because I have a tremendous amount of confidence in myself. And I have had a man fall in love with me and I have no way. And what I did when I noticed that is I stopped it because I'm a married woman and I did not want this man to get in. I wasn't going to do anything, but I did not want him to fall in love with me. And I actually apologized to him because I felt that it was a responsibility on my part to do that, to step away. So he was falling in love with me because I know how to talk to men. That's why I have sisters in the spirit, because I want to help women to understand how they should walk in this world spiritually so they can draw men to them that would want to commit. But as far as the reverse, when a man is ready, I'm going to tell you something that's very secular. Just looking at this program about many wives, I looked at this Caucasian gentleman. He had many wives. There was a seriousness about him, a maturity about him, that it appeared that he can handle having more than one wife. We call this a wife. I'm not talking about the one with the actor. I'm talking about the real-life gentleman that had many wives. And
the one that's just
reality show. Thank you, Naomi. You
remember that program. And that was a very popular program, and it was, you know, real family. And I think one of the wives did, she left the family, you know, which, of course, you know, you're always free to divorce, even in a multiple-wife situation. But you mentioned something, Minister Cynthia, that I think we should really think about, and that is what attracts people to you and what causes people to feel love. Generally, when someone feels that they are accepted and listened to and valued, they're going to be attracted to talking to someone. They're going to be attracted to spending time with that person. It makes them feel good. So it really is. First, the attraction is from the spirit when it's really love. It's one thing when you're just looking at somebody, okay, how can I end up with a sexual relationship with them? But that's not really looking at the person
that's
for who they are.
Oh,
but when you experience the essence of them, when they speak to you in a kind, loving manner that makes you feel like you're valued, that is attractive. Mm. That's attractive to a man. That's attractive to a woman. So if a person is in a relationship with someone and maybe they're constantly in conflict and then that person steps away to somebody who's not in conflict with them, that's what happens. And so we have to, in our own relationships, maintain harmony. And because marriage is a free will decision. People choose to stay together. But they also choose to part if they're not making each other feel good. So your spouse is supposed to be the one that makes you feel good. And if that doesn't happen, then people will step away. And that's often what people do rather than solve what's broken in the relationship. They'll say, well, you know, my husband's making me feel bad or my wife is making me feel bad. I'm going to talk to somebody else who makes me feel better. I'm going to talk to somebody who lifts me up. I'm going to talk to somebody who compliments me. You know, my spouse, they're insulting me. I'm going to go and talk to somebody who doesn't do that. And then next thing you know, you have emotional bond. And the next thing you know, it evolves into physical attraction. And then next thing you know, you have a relationship. So we have to always, just like your physical house has to be maintained, your spiritual house has to be maintained. The relationship with your spouse has to be maintained, has to be kept clean, has to be kept in order. If it's rocky, if it's rough, if it's hurtful, it's going to deteriorate. All of us should look at how we are valuing the spouse that we have, the person in our household. How are we talking to them? Are we listening to them? Are we attending to their the needs of their ego? Everybody needs to to feel like they look good, they smell good, you like being around them. If we are constantly critical, they're going to find somebody who isn't. They're going to find somebody who makes them feel better. So this is part of marital maintenance that we should practice if we're married. And if both of you ladies have been married several times, so you have seen what works and what doesn't work. If we're going to form family together, then she has to know how to treat
the sexual thing, as you said, is not primary. Men want to feel comfortable. They want to feel
that's
a friend. You have to understand they have their own emotions and learn about how men are. And that's why, as again, I have to ask this spirit. I wanted to help women to understand part what you're talking about. See, my maturity level was such, I was looking for a woman that I felt to be in a relationship with me, although I really actually thought about it as time went by. But all of them were so emotionally out there. They weren't emotionally detached. They weren't where I was at in my maturity. All of the husbands that I've had, I was never over the top emotionally as a woman because I always, because of my spirituality, understood the equality of who we all are as soul beings. So men always, they said, Cynthia, I really like it. I counsel men for years, too. You know, I always feel, I feel real comfortable with you. I feel I can talk to you about anything. And they have said some outlandish things. And I sit there and I listen. But the level of
well, you know what? That really is the key. In Minnesota City, I think a lot of people don't get that point. A person is attracted first to your conversation.
Yes.
And if you can't talk to the one in your house, you're going to step outside of your house because you need that. We got to go. We're gonna sign off for those who are still with us on Facebook Live and who are on our switchboard. We do want to remind you all we are helping Minister Cynthia to celebrate the life of her dear departed husband. And you can go on her Facebook page. That's Minister Cynthia Marie Williams. That's MINCYNTHIA Marie MARIE Williams, WILLIAMS. Go on Facebook, scroll down to the GoFundMe page. It's right by the wonderful, beautiful picture of her husband, Michael. And contribute whatever your heart tells you. Certainly we are all part of a community, and we're helping in the celebration to be held at the wonderful Dodie Nash Funeral Facility at 86 in Stony Island in Chicago on September 10th from 2 to 3 in the afternoon. And we certainly want to participate in assisting in this process. Unfortunate circumstances caused this to happen unexpected, and we must come together when the system is unfair. We must come together to make sure that we properly honor those in our community. So please go to Minister Cynthia Marie Williams' Facebook page, and we've got Mama D, who is coming up this Saturday with Wisdom with Mama D. Make sure you tune on in. Mama D always gives us the history of how we got where we're at right here. And we know we've got August 28th coming up, that not only Mama D's Earth Day celebration, but also the historic March on Washington, which really transformed this nation in many ways and brought many people together, and certainly was that profound speech of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And so Mama D is going to give us some inside lessons about that day and that time period and what we should be looking forward to. So Mama D, we're looking forward to your show this coming Saturday, fourth Saturday of the month, Wisdom with Mama D, 12 noon Central, 1 p.m. Eastern. And if you're overseas, 6 p.m. GMT, tune on in, listen to Wisdom with Mama D this coming Saturday afternoon. Thank you all so much for joining us. today. Any last words? We've got about 1 minute to go. Any last words to share with us, Mama D, before we sign off?
Yes, I do. Husbands, wives do not usually leave their husband because of sexual jealousy. Hillary didn't leave Bill. Reverend Jackson, wife Jackie, didn't leave him even though a baby was involved. So the word is adultery. It's not jealousy. A harlot can be brought for a loaf of bread, but an adulteress stalks your very soul. So that is where the issue is. You have a family, and the adulteress comes in and breaks up the family that you already have. In my case, a family of 33 years, because all the in-laws are parties to your family, and that's hurting a lot of people. So it's not about sex and people being jealous over sex. So we just need more discussion on that. Women don't leave because of sex.
So as you say, we're going to definitely need more discussion on this. And I think one of the challenges that we have.
Jealousy. We're not talking about jealousy. Jealousy is the wrong way. It was Cain who was jealous of his brother because he got a good grade and killed him. So the person that is jealous is the one that wants something. It's not the one that already has something. So jealousy needs to be explored in a different way. Who is jealous? The envious one. I want what you have. And that is the one that's jealous. That is the one that's envious. Not I'm jealous. You already have something. What do you be jealous about? It's the one that wants. That is the one that's full of envy, thinking she wants what you have. So that's what we need to clear up, that word jealous, because God is jealous, and it has nothing to do with envy and what somebody else wants to take from you. It has to do with the one full of envy. I want what you have, and I will kill you so I can have what you have. And that's what caused the first murder.
Well, thank you, Mama D. We appreciate you, and we appreciate all of you for participating in this very profound discussion today. Of course, if you missed any parts of it, go back in the archives. This was a man-only discussion that was led by our dear co-host every Wednesday, Kareem Hamid, and his guests, men who have had years of experience in marriage. Reiterating, what are the benefits of a wife? We have issues in our community that must be resolved, and we have emotions that run deep, and we have families that have been broken, and we have generations of people who have chosen not to form families at all, but simply have children who are not being raised by that loving unit of a mother and father. And it's been a disaster. How do we fix it? Well, this is a continuing discussion. We're going to be talking more about that issue of infidelity and how to handle it, how to respond on this coming Monday. Of course, join us every day on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show. We deal with these serious issues with the objective of finding a real solution. And, of course, the solution every conflict is always love. How do we love our neighbor as ourselves? How do we first love ourselves? And can we evolve to a higher standard of love that includes all people so that all may be loved and all may share love so that all may feel love? That is our challenge. We'll continue to talk about this. And can we evolve to a state of higher conscious love, the love of the Creator, which is not possession, but merely appreciation for the unique expression of the divine that we all are? That's a goal for us to reach for. I'm Naima Latif. Thank you for joining us today. Join us every day on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show, Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central, and 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, and 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central on Sunday. Until tomorrow, with Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie, we'll see you then.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.